Hello, and welcome to another episode of Clark Hill's Credit Ego2Go, Curbside Thought Leadership for Financial Services. My name is Joanne Needleman, and I am a partner at Clark Hill, as well as a member of the firm's Banking and Financial Services Practice Group. My guest today is Stuart Stockdale, co-founder, chairman, and CEO of Relevate, a digital banking services company that allows consumers to access, move, and use their money anytime, anywhere. Stuart has over 30 years' experience in the financial services industry. He has been president of Western Union, head of product and marketing at MasterCard, as well as CEO at J.G. Wentworth. Stuart, thank you so much for coming on to the podcast today.
Thanks, Joanne. We really appreciate it. And thanks for having us, and look forward to the show.
Yeah, absolutely. So let's talk about Relevate. I read about it a few weeks ago in American Banker. There was an excellent article about what you were doing. So I'd love to hear an overview and really, you know, your mission and why you started the platform.
Yep. No, it's, you know, as you mentioned, I've been in and around payment systems, financial services for a long time. And it was clear to me after I finished my assignment at J.G. Wentworth, you know, I believe that financial services were created in the United States for the upper and upper middle class, for sure. And as the pyramid went down, that the financial services were filled, that gap was filled by more onerous players and channels. So if you look at, you know, people that make $10,000 to $25,000, $10,000 to $25,000 per hour, $25,000 to $75,000 household income, those folks are vastly underserved and have to go to players when cash flow is needed. You know, they may not be able to borrow a loan, they may not, or certainly not a good rate. And so they go to payday lenders, they go to check cashers, they sometimes go to pawn shops. And so our premise was, can we build a perfect prototype where we could give people access and use of their money at fair prices? And in this population, a lot of it is about cash flow. So it's really, really important to give them their needs. And so that's what we did. I'll talk a little bit about the different products that in it, but that was kind of the genesis behind it, is really give people access to financial services at fair prices so that they could, you know, manage their money most efficiently.
You know, you think about, why do we have banks? I always joke, I'll go into my Hamilton song right now. But, you know, banks were there to serve communities. Before there was alternative financial services and other offerings. But, you know, 20 years ago, you had a brick and mortar bank and it was there to serve everybody. And you make a really good point. It doesn't. There has been for some time a large part of the population that is still underserved, and that divide is getting bigger. So kudos to you for recognizing that and starting this platform. Tell me a little bit about how Relevate is going to work and some of the products you are offering.
Yeah, and just to pick up on a point, 32 million households in the U.S. are underserved by banks or not served at all. Right. So that is a huge issue. And as you say, that I think that divide is not getting closer. A lot of people give it lip service, but few people are actually doing it.
And it's dangerous. I mean, if you think about it, I mean, people should not be walking around with cash. I mean, that's just, it's an open invitation, especially in the times that we're going through now. It could potentially be a public health crisis for someone not to have either access to financial services or their only access is the cash they have in their wallet.
Yeah, and to pick up on that, you know, what we did is, you know, we've been in and around the business for a long time, and my co-founders and myself, we got together in early days and kind of just in the brainstorming foundation stage and said, you know, what are the right products to put under the Relevate umbrella? And, you know, if we said, okay, one should be a current account. You have to have a DDA of sorts where people could, you know, access their money in a safe deposit. Got to be insured, $250,000 through the FDIC so that people feel safe and secure having their money there. We said, let's give them interest right away. Let's not have two accounts. Let's have one account so that it gives it interest. You don't need a savings account. I mean, if your current account gives you interest, you know, then great. We call them earned credits, but it serves as interest. Let's give it a Visa debit card, and so that people could access it remotely. Since we're branchless, people have to be able to use it at the point of sale or withdraw at ATMs. Mm-hmm. And then let's build other products. And the products that we thought are most relevant is, you know, bill pay, and you have to have bill pay. But really importantly, we believe you have to have expedited bill pay, so that when the cable collector comes and says, you need to pay now, they don't mean, you know, a few days from now, they mean now. And in the past, you probably have to go to a Western Union location or a MoneyGram location and do a fast payment. So, you know, we're offering expedited bill pay. We're offering money transfer. You know, about 20 to 25% of our population will be immigrants and migrants that send money home. And again, it'd be really easy and more compliant to be able to do it directly from your bank account. So we'll offer a service to move money within the United States, but also cross border, so that directly from your, you know, desktop or your smartphone, you could send it, you know, to Mexico, India, or other parts of the world. And last but not least, we came up with earned wage access, which is being able to give people access to their payroll between pay cycles. So if Joanne worked today, and your employer gives us the time and attendance and the hourly pay, then we're able to make that available to you tonight. And so you don't have to go to other channels to get access to cash when you've already worked those hours. And we don't charge for that service. We don't pull, it's not a loan. It's merely an advance. There's no recourse as it's not a loan, and it gives people a great benefit. And we think that that's kind of a hook product for us, and really entice people to join and do all of the other things that you do with banking type products.
So what is the monthly fee to join Relevate?
Yeah. You know, we went to a subscription model, rather than charge, you know, X number of dollars for every earned advance and things like that. We charge $9.95. And we give you 4 advances on a monthly basis. We allow 2 ATM withdrawals per month as part of no fee. Bill pay is included within that, as well as U.S. money send. So within the U.S., no charge. Things that are extra are out-of-network ATMs, international ATMs. The cross-border money transfer will have an extra fee, and it'll be a really good price, as will be the expedited bill pay. And, you know, our partners that are providing the service for us on our behalf on a private label basis will charge, so we have to charge as well. But it's a premise that has all of these products at what we think is kind of a, you know, typical banks charge at least $10 on a monthly basis,
right?
And don't provide all of the services nor the interest level that we're offering. You know, last I checked at my big bank offers, the interest on that is almost zero. Mm-hmm. We're offering 38 basis points to start, which isn't a lot of money these days because of cost of funds, but it's significantly higher than the big banks. And if Relevate could afford it, you would think that the big banks could too, but there we are.
We'll get into that topic in a second. Does the consumer have to have a bank account, or can you kind of start an account for them?
Yeah, they do not have to. In fact, we ask them to open up an account with us.
Okay.
The majority of our distribution base will be through employers, because right, we're selling it through the employee population. And as such, because we want to get the time and attendance, you don't have to have that piece, the pay any day. So you could come in as a consumer directly into Relevate.com and get an account. But certainly to get the earned wage advance, we have to have your employer endorse it and give us time and attendance on a daily basis. So that's how we know that you have worked the hours that you've worked.
That's great. I mean, it's certainly an alternative to what you and I both know is what is traditional payday lending. This all sounds great. Why haven't traditional financial institutions, banks, gone into this space? I know part of it is dollars and cents, but I think there's a lot more than that. I'm interested in your thoughts.
Well, my opinion is typically the customer segment, right? I mean, we're talking that mass, middle, and lower market, which is truly the bulk of the U.S. population. And to your earlier point, it's getting, that divide is getting larger. But, you know, in the last 20 years, it's fair to say the banks have been you know, certainly indifferent to the walking population, people that have low minimum balances, you know, debate as to whether people want them even coming into the branches or not, whether they should have branches or not. But from our perspective, you know, that's the heartbeat of America. These are people that, these are the hourly workers. It's a huge part. I mean, it's 78% of the country. So it's not like it's an insignificant part as far as people working hourly rates. And so, you know, our opinion is that, you know, that they haven't been well served by not just the banks, but the population at large, the financial population. And so, you know, and obviously there's been a place for payday lenders and check cashers and all those, because obviously they exist. And so people must find a use for them. So we think it's a much better solution for people to sign up for a current account, and have all of these benefits. And you know, obviously we're going to focus on this population. All of our products and services will be to, you know, better serve this population. Mm-hmm. And so even if we ever did a lending product, it would have to be at a really good, really good rate. You know, people put a threshold of 36% as being kind of, you know, acceptable. You know, 36% right. is still pretty high.
Exactly.
So, you know, and if you have to borrow at 250%, should you really even be borrowing is kind of the other equation. And I don't want to be altruistic in that sense. I just, you know, from our perspective, you know, what we're offering is, you know, cash flow, access to cash. And we think it's, you know, technology now allows us to do it. And I don't think that the, you know, the bulk of the US banking system is focused on this population the way we are.
No, it clearly is not. And this clearly seems to be a better tool for the non-banked. What other areas do you think, you know, once you get off the ground, and I know you're talking with a lot of like teachers unions and people who are in unions, but, you know, once you get a good, you know, amount of depositors and people that have come into the program, where do you see the product going?
You know, what we think is, you know, obviously we want to get a good foothold and get our fair share of the distribution. We're talking to schools. We've got a school committed. It's a public school. Mm-hmm. They pay once a month. So you can imagine the need for that. They were telling us that even, you know, bus drivers have a hard time joining their school because, you know, it to be out of cash for a full month and without a pay cycle is difficult. We're talking to fast food locations. We're talking to employment agencies, people that you know, hire the employees, and then they obviously service hotels and other areas. So it's really the bread and butter of the hourly worker base. And you know, I everywhere I go, I look at a school district, I look at a police department, I look at a fire station, I look at, you know, a construction site, and I go, all of these people are perfect for us. And so we're really embracing that. Other thing that we want to do is we're talking to a lot of companies. And so we, you know, we'll likely offer incentive cards for them as well. But you'd be surprised how many incentive cards and promotional cards people buy for their employees and then for their consumers. So we're gonna, you know, get into the incentive and the gift card business because we think it's a national extension to better service the employers that we're servicing. Mm-hmm. But they're already buying these things from other players. So we want to kind of have more of a consolidated view on the employee and the employer population. What else could we offer that employer? And then, of course, what else could we offer that consumer? You know, and we will get into more of educational, financial education concepts as well. We'll offer that. And then, you know, we'll always be on the lookout for other products and services that are needed and at scale. There'll be some that are niche players, but we'll get into segmentation. We'll get into wallets where people could budget and do budgeting tools. I just want to make sure that those are well used. Throughout my years, I've seen a lot of those tools, you know, be out there, but never really being applied properly or used properly.
Right.
So we want to make sure that whatever we're offering is truly needed and that our consumers are going to, you know, understand and use.
Well, there's certainly a need, and especially now, I mean, that's really been heightened because of the pandemic. You know, gig workers have really suffered a lot during this crisis. You think about Uber drivers, you think about people, you know, that work part-time. And it has been hard to manage money. And so I wish you all the success, because I do think it's a wonderful idea. A wonderful idea that should have been done a long time ago. You always wonder why it's taken so long. And clearly the need needs to be filled. So Stuart, thank you so much for coming on to the podcast and talking about Relevate. But before I let you go, I asked my guests a couple questions before you leave, and hopefully you can play along, as they say. The first thing is this is a to-go theme podcast. So in keeping with that theme, I always ask my guests if they have an interesting story to share about a to-go experience while you were sheltering in place.
Well, I mean, the one that I always, you know, talk about is I have six kids, my house looks like a WeWorks facility, and you know, from 9 to 4, everybody's online, either working or studying and so forth, and so it's certainly been an interesting time for everybody, and certainly for the Stockdales, and you know, we've been very good about, you know, social distancing. We were kind of with the last household that let everybody out, because you know, everybody thought we must have a pre-existing condition, because we weren't letting anybody out. And my challenge was, if I let one of the six kids out, then I need to leave them all out, because, you know, one follows the other. We've relaxed that, obviously, over the last few months, still being very careful. And fortunately, our community is doing pretty well. But you know, I do urge everybody to be safe, social distance. I think we can do a lot of things in today's environment. Certainly, technology is allowing it, but if we could do it in a safe and secure manner, is really to everybody's benefit. And we urge that. You know, I was in New York City onboarding a hotel. It was a COVID hotel, and yeah. I went into the hotel, and it was, and you know, I promise you, I didn't go to the boardroom. I went to the basement where all of the hourly workers and people that work. Right. The hotel, and this was, you know, hotels that have remained open through COVID, doing, you know, emergency responder, working with emergency responders. And I can't tell you, I mean, you know, focusing on that hourly, and it's a need that we have now, but even pre-pandemic, the hourly worker, you know, we had a good economy, but people working 2-3 jobs, and people are still having a hard time making ends meet. Yep. So, you know, I can't pay people more, but we're trying at Relevate to make life a little bit easier for them.
Well, I appreciate that. And finally, I ask my guests, in consideration of their time, to identify an organization that is helping hourly workers, like you said, or helping feed the community, anything to help the people that have had a tough time going through this crisis. And I'm wondering if you have such an organization that you can identify.
Absolutely. And I think everybody should support their local food banks. Yep. Food banks, I think, are the most critical need in the United States. I worked on the board of a food bank for 10 years. I ultimately became the chairman of the food bank in Indiana when I was there. Gleaners Food Bank is a phenomenal organization. I've been, you know, on around many, many, charities and social work responsibility type functions, but I could tell you every dollar there matters. We didn't raise a lot of money. You know, there's a lot bigger organizations, but that the food banks are, I think, the most important, because it goes directly to feeding people. And you know, obviously, there's other systemic reasons as to why we need to feed people, but you know, I think that those are something that I wish everybody could. You know, put $10, $15, $20 to great use by contributing. And it could be, you know, contributing food, but also contributing their time. Right. And so food banks.
I appreciate that. We've had a lot of guests that have identified food banks. They're all wonderful organizations, and you're absolutely right. It's direct impact. You see all the car lines on the news of people that need support. So we will absolutely do that, and we are happy to. And Stuart, I thank you so much for coming onto the podcast and learning about Relevate. And I hope you can come on again in a couple months and tell me how the product's doing and tell me about all the people that it is helping. So we look forward to that. Thank you to all of our loyal Credit Ecotogo listeners for tuning in and logging on. All episodes of Credit Ecotogo can be found on Buzzsprout and Spotify. Information on our podcast can also be found at clarkhill.com if you click onto my bio page as well as my LinkedIn page. If you'd like to be a guest on Credit Ecotogo or have a show idea, please email us at creditecotogo@clarkhill.com. Thank you, be well, and stay safe.
This podcast is intended for general education and informational purposes only and should not be regarded as either legal advice or a legal opinion. You should not act upon or use this publication or any of its contents for any specific situation. Recipients are cautioned to obtain legal advice from their legal counsel with respect to any decision or course of action contemplated in a specific situation. Clark Hill PLC and its attorneys provide legal advice only after establishing an attorney-client relationship through a written attorney-client engagement agreement. This recording does not establish an attorney-client relationship with any recipient. Thank you.